'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd'sville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
Acts chapter 15, verse 11, Peter gives us what could truly be called the Apostles' Creed. Now, creed is a confession, a statement of faith, a shared belief of those who believe. And here, Peter gives what could truly be called the true Apostles' Creed. He says it in verse 11, but we believe. He's speaking as the spokesman of every believer. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Perhaps you've heard of the Apostles' Creed. Let me quote it to you. It goes like this, and perhaps you've quoted it in liturgies and religious services before. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, He descended into hell, the third day He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And that is called the Apostles' Creed. The apostles didn't write that creed. They were all dead when it was written. It was written in about 150 A.D., and it was supposed to be a summary of what they preached. And while I would give agreement to the historical facts of pretty much everything it said, but the part about him descending into hell, I'm not sure about that because nobody knows really what happened in the time between the Lord's death and His resurrection. It's mysterious. If He did descend, maybe He did, but that's the only thing that I would question. But really, all these are historical facts. The gospel is not in the Apostles' Creed. If all you ever heard was this Apostles' Creed, you would not hear the gospel. But thank God there is a true Apostles' Creed. Now in Acts chapter 15, we have the council at Jerusalem, and this was a very important event in the New Testament church, and it's important to us now to understand what the gospel is. Now, Paul was in Antioch at this time, a church that he had founded. I think it's glorious the way, no, he didn't found it. Barnabas was the first one to preach there. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And we read in chapter 15, verse 1, Paul had been in Antioch preaching, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now these men came from Judea. In all likelihood, they came from the church at Jerusalem where James was the pastor. And they came teaching something contrary to what Paul and Barnabas was preaching. They were saying true salvation's by grace, true salvation's by Christ, but except you be circumcised the way you're supposed to be circumcised in the law of Moses, you can't be saved. Now here's what these men were saying. Something other than what Christ did is necessary. Now here is the hope of the gospel. Listen to me carefully. My hope is that Christ died for my sins. You know what goes after that? A period. If Christ died for my sins, I must be saved. I despise this preaching that says that Jesus Christ paid for everybody's sins, but many of those people for whom he died will end up in hell anyway because they didn't do their part. Beloved, there's no gospel in that. If Christ can die for me and I wind up in hell anyway, I'll be in hell anyway. I know myself enough to know that that's the truth. And how that dishonors God, that Christ could pay for sins and God make me pay for them again. That's dishonoring to the justice of God. The only hope of the believer is that Christ died for sins. And if you add something to that, you've left the gospel. And that's what these people were doing. They were adding something to the work of Christ. Yes, it's true, Christ died for your sins, but you need to fill in the blank. In this case, it was be circumcised. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, when these men came teaching this, there was a fight. Paul and Barnabas gave strong objection to this. They disputed. There was an uproar is what one of those words mean. They were upset. Now, understand this. If somebody's denying the gospel, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say, well, you believe your way and I'll believe my way. No, there's only one gospel. And in faithfulness to God and faithfulness to the souls of that person who is making that wrong statement regarding the gospel, and because of what other people would hear, I must stand up for the gospel, which is exactly what Paul and Barnabas did at that time. Now, they said, well, let's go down to Jerusalem. And they were to talk to the apostles and the elders about this, and Paul and Barnabas were not going there to see if they preached the same thing. As far as that goes, they did preach the same thing. Paul and Barnabas knew that. But they weren't going to see if maybe they were mistaken and the elders would have a different view of this. No, they were going to show that all believers believe the precise same thing. Now, verses 3 and 4, we read, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through, and he talks about these different places they went through on the way to Jerusalem, Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and this caused great joy unto all the brethren. You see, anytime you see the Lord save somebody and bring somebody to the feet of Christ, it gives you joy. It makes you happy. It made them happy. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things God had done with them. They talked about the great works of salvation God had wrought through the preaching of the gospel. But now he deals with the issue at hand. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them. Salvation by grace wasn't enough. It was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, notice when Paul and Barnabas talk about these people that came bringing this message. He says, certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Now, when Paul talks about them in Galatians chapter 2, he calls them false brethren who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. He says they weren't real. They were false brethren. But here he calls them a part of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Now, that word sect is the word that's generally translated heresy. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, Paul said, after the way which they call heresy, same word, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. Now, this word heresy means a choosing, making a choice between two opinions. Now, the gospel is never, here's this way and here's that way, you make your choice. There's only one way. There isn't any choice. And if you choose to believe something wrong, it's because you chose to. If you believe error, it's because you chose to believe that error. You heard the truth, you rejected, and you said, I'll take this instead. But if you believe the truth, you do so because you have no choice. It's the truth. You must believe that which is true. If you choose to believe, by definition, you're a heretic. He spoke of the sect, the heresy, the choosing, the two different opinions. That's the word heresy means an opinion. My opinion, your opinion. Who cares about man's opinion? But it's a choosing of the sect of the Pharisees, the separated ones which believe. They claimed to believe, but they didn't believe the same thing Peter did in the Apostles' Creed, because he said, we believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. They didn't believe that. They believed something, but they didn't believe that. Well, what did they believe? Well, he says, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful. It was necessary. This had to be done along with the grace of God, along with the death of Christ, along with the Holy Spirit. It was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. They need to be circumcised and they need to keep the law. Have you done there? Have you succeeded in this thing of keeping the law? If this is necessary, where does that leave you? Where does that leave me? I tell you where it leaves me. It leaves me in hell. I haven't kept one commandment one time. Not in my heart. Not perfectly. Not purely. Not with the right motive. You see, God's law is exceeding broad. And if I think that I've kept even one of the commandments, all I do is show what a low opinion I have of the law of God and a high opinion I have of myself. The law shows us our sin. We don't keep it. It exposes our sinfulness. As many as are the works of the law are under the curse. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now when you get to the end of something, you don't go any further. We're not under law, but under grace. The only way I honor God's holy law is by looking to Christ only as my obedience before that holy law of God. If I think that I can keep it, all I do is dishonor it and show myself to be a self-righteous, blind Pharisee. No, God's law shows me my need of Christ. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but these men were denying that. They were upholding the law and saying, we need to keep it. We need to command believers to keep it. Now, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter, if this was really true. I can hear all the things that might have been said. Well, the law is no good for justification, but it's good for sanctification. It can't save us, but it's a good guide of life. We ought to try and keep it. And that's when Peter arose up during all this talk about the law. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And he's talking about that time with Cornelius, when Peter had that vision and the sheet let down from heaven with the unclean animals in it and creeping things. And the voice said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never touched anything common or unclean. I'm not going to go contrary to the law. And the voice said, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. God's cleansed. And he understood the gospel to the Gentiles at that time. Verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? This is blazing hypocrisy, Peter says. For you don't want to put them under law, this is nothing more than hypocrisy. You're tempting God. God will be provoked at this. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God, that you put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, these Gentile believers, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. We couldn't bear it. We broke the law. Why would we try to impose this upon them? But we believe, now here's the true Apostles' Creed. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Now let's consider this First of all, Peter says, we believe. Now, this is the same we as the we Paul spoke of in Romans 8:28 when he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This we is every believer. Excuse me. This we represents all of the elect of God. Now understand this. All believers believe the same thing. They don't believe differently. All these denominations with different beliefs, those are all man-made. They're not of God. You won't find denominations and differences in the Bible. All believers believe the same thing. If you believe the gospel and I don't believe like you, that means I don't believe the gospel. And if I believe the gospel and you believe differently than me, that means you don't believe the gospel. You see, there's only one faith. All believers believe the precise same thing. Somebody says, well, I disagree with that. Well, your disagreement doesn't affect the truth of the statement. All believers believe the same thing. We believe. The gospel is a message to be believed. That means relied upon. It's not just giving assent to some facts. All my eggs are in this basket. This is my only hope. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. The gospel is a message to be believed. And in this statement, we find out what the apostles did not believe. They did not believe in salvation by works in any way. They said, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, I believe in works if I believe that any aspect of salvation is dependent upon me. If I believe that, I believe in salvation by works. Now, that takes on so many different forms. I might believe I need to keep the Ten Commandments. Or I might believe what most people believe, that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, God wants to save everybody, God the Holy Spirit's calling everybody. But it's up to you. It's up to your acceptance of Him as your personal Savior as to whether or not you'll be saved. If you don't accept Him as your personal Savior and let Him into your heart, then you won't be saved. My dear friends, that's salvation by works. That's salvation dependent upon what you do. The message of the gospel is not do. The message of the gospel is it's done. It's done. There's nothing you do. You know, most people think of the forgiveness of sins. They think, well, if I do this, 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 and this, I'll be rewarded the forgiveness of sins. No, no, no. The gospel doesn't end with the forgiveness of sins. If you do this and that, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. The gospel begins with the full, free, complete forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. Now, that's the gospel. That's the good news. Anything short of that is bad news. The apostles did not believe in salvation by works in any form. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. The apostles believed in this statement that men were dead in sins, unable to save themselves, and the only way they could be saved is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the apostles believed that. They believed men were dead in sins. Paul said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in sins. Now, if you're dead in sins, that means you can't save yourself. You can't come up with the faith. You can't come up with the repentance. You can't come to Christ. You're dead. And if I'm dead, the only hope I have is that salvation by grace. Only salvation by grace is going to give hope to that man who is dead in sins. And the apostles believed in saving grace. Not grace that simply offers salvation, but grace that saves. We believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, just like them. Saving grace. By grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what kind of grace is saving grace? How much of salvation is by grace? And that's a good question. I want you to think about it. How much of salvation is by grace? Now, for grace to be saving grace, it's first of all going to have to be electing grace. Grace that chooses the sinner. If I don't believe in electing grace, I don't believe in grace at all. You see, grace begins with God. It begins with God's choice of His people. It doesn't begin with our choice. It begins with God's choice. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now, the only way I'm going to be holy and without blame before Him is if He chooses me to be holy and without blame before Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's called in Romans 11:6, the election of grace. Now, somebody doesn't believe in election. I'm talking about God choosing who would be saved before time began, and only they will be saved. They don't believe in grace at all. For grace to be saving grace, first of all, it's going to have to be electing grace. And for grace to be saving grace, it's going to have to be redeeming grace. It's got to be grace that actually redeems, not that makes redemption available, dependent upon whether I accept it or reject it. Not a redemption that is contingent upon some act of man's supposed free will. That kind of redemption is no good, because you can be redeemed that way and wind up in hell anyway. That's not a saving redemption. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now please listen to me carefully. When Christ said it is finished, all of the elect were redeemed. This message that Christ redeemed everybody, all the world, but now it's up to you as to whether or not that redemption will work for you, that is a false message. It is not a saving message. No one is saved believing that message, because they're not trusting Christ. They're trusting something they've done. There's no salvation in that message. The only kind of saving grace there is the grace that actually redeems, that actually makes payment for sin. And for grace to be saving grace, first it has to be electing grace, it has to be redeeming grace, but then it has to be justifying grace. Oh, I love this thing of justification. This is the heart and soul of the gospel. Christ justified me. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, if I'm justified, that means I have no sin to be condemned for. If I'm justified, that means God's holy law looks me over through and through and finds nothing but that which is righteous, pure, holy, and good. That's what justification means. I don't have anything to feel guilty about. I don't have any sin. I'm perfect in God's sight. Now, justification is not something you accept or reject. The judge doesn't say, well, do you want to be justified or condemned? I'm leaving it up to you. That's never happened and never will happen. Justification is what the great judge declares you to be. And because of the work of Christ on the cross, every believer is actually justified. Their sin's been put away. Their sin's been washed away. It's gone. It's no more. And they all stand justified before God. Now, for grace to be saving grace, it will have to be justifying grace. And for grace to be saving grace, it's going to have to be life giving grace. It's got to give the dead life. The dead in sins or have to be given spiritual life so they can believe, so they can repent, so they can love. But God, who is rich in mercy, Paul said in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath given us life together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now, the only kind of saving grace there is it gives a dead sinner life, where God says, live, and I live. That's the only kind of grace that truly is saving grace. And for grace to be saving grace, it's going to have to be preserving grace. It's going to have to preserve me. And notice how Peter said this. He says, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. We shall be. We believe the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will carry us all the way to the end, and we shall be saved. We will persevere unto the end. It's only he that endureth to the end that shall be saved. And we believe in a grace that preserves us and causes us to continue to come to Christ. Here's the true Apostles' Creed. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And the Apostle Paul said something very similar in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to every believer, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in righteousness, rich in praise. He had the praise of his Father. He had the praise of angels. Rich in power, omnipotence. Rich in the presence of his Father, enjoying the presence of God. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, every believer, he became poor. He became poor in righteousness. On the cross, he didn't have any. All he had was sin. He became poor in power. He was crucified through weakness, nailed to a cross. He became poor in praise. He was the butt of jokes, people making fun of him. And oh, how poor he became in the presence of his Father. He no longer had the presence of his Father. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When my sin became his sin, he became poor, that you, the apostle said, through his poverty might be rich. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for my sake became poor, I through his poverty become rich, rich in righteousness, rich in power, the power of God, rich in praise. I even have God praising me. Rich in the presence of God. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, we believe. This is the true Apostles' Creed. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Even as they, those Gentiles, they won't be saved like us, Jews. No, us Jews will be saved like those Gentiles. And we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.